Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rossello is in town today. He met with students and faculty at his alma mater, MIT, and talked about how to rebuild the island's infrastructure after the devastation of Hurricanes Irma and Maria. He also met with Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh at the State House, where they announced that college students from Puerto Rico who relocated to Massachusetts after the storms will be immediately eligible for in-state tuition. Rossello told reporters he's grateful for the decision.
Education is probably the number one concern of parents that are leaving Puerto Rico. So allowing that fair treatment, showing that empathy to the students that are moving here and the families is of tremendous help for our people. Giving that to the students of Puerto Rico is a great blessing.
Well, before the meeting at the State House today, Governor Rossello took some time to speak with us, and we started with him describing what the most urgent needs facing the island are right now.
Right now, we're passing the emergency phase, but certainly the most important and critical thing as we achieve normalcy is getting our energy grid back going again.
And how do you plan on doing that? Because, I mean, you know, you recently canceled the contract with Montana-based Whitefish, so who's taking care of the grid now?
Well, there's several stakeholders. Number one, we have the Corps of Engineers. They've subcontracted Fluor and Power Secure. We've also established an MOU with different mutual aid agreements with different states, such as New York and Con Edison, for example, is in Puerto Rico. So we sort of have a united command, and adding to that our local energy authority. They're working together, and it is a challenge. It is a challenge to get materials. It is a challenge to get things moving with the devastation,
yeah.
But they're working every day to make sure that we can get it as quickly as possible.
How much of the island is still without power?
About 37% of the island.
So still an enormous amount then.
This yes,
meant this,
yes.
This long after the storms. I mean, there's no doubt that Irma and Maria were humongous storms, but I'm just curious, like, why Puerto Rico did not ask for assistance until late October? I mean, going forward, do you plan on signing mutual aid agreements before storms in order to so that this situation doesn't get repeated regarding the grid?
Yeah, well, the answer is yes, but there was a limiting factor. So it is important to note why we didn't sign those mutual aid agreements. The reason was that they needed some initial payments. And of course, mutual aid, when you're in Texas or Florida, states that have a lot of fiscal prowess and money, is different from, you know, coming to Puerto Rico because, first of all, of course, the freight and the shipping is much more expensive. Bringing people is much more harder. And then there was a real concern from some of the stakeholders that they weren't going to be able to get their money back, right? So what we did take immediate action. We just took a different route, which was signing on with the Corps of Engineers, making sure that FEMA would deputize them and then pay 100% of that. And that's why the mutual aid agreement did not flow through initially. Now, afterwards, we looked for other mechanisms. We made sure that FEMA was involved. It took a long process of evaluation, but once FEMA guaranteed that there was going to be the reimbursement, then mutual aid started flowing.
I see. Okay. So let me just ask you one more question because we mentioned Whitefish just briefly.
Yeah.
Whitefish Energy, they're this tiny Montana-based company that initially had won a $300 million contract to restore power on the island. There was a lot of questions about whether or not this tiny, relatively inexperienced company could do such a massive job. And you canceled that contract recently. I'm just bringing listeners up to speed. They've since sued and settled. We don't know the terms of the settlement. But I guess my question is, can you assure people that something like a misstep like this won't happen again? Because it's an astonishing thing that this company was granted the contract to begin with.
Well, first of all, it was, let me put it in context. There was an RFI, a request for information, that was submitted post-Irma. Remember, we had two storms, so that we can get different companies to come to Puerto Rico and aid in the reconstruction after Irma. What happened was that the two storms were only 2 weeks, you know, separate from each other. So Maria came along, had massive devastation, and there were only two companies that qualified for the RFI. One of those companies was Whitefish. The other company was asking for a $25 million down payment. We didn't have the liquidity for it. So We decided to go with Whitefish. Let me establish that Whitefish was not responsible for the whole of the recovery. It was actually a very small part of the recovery. I mean, we're talking about several billion dollars to recover the whole energy system. However, I did take the decision to ask for the cancellation of the contract because it was, you know, there were some questions being asked about the validity of this contract. I thought it was distracting, and we decided to go another route. I also asked for a full investigation from the Inspector General of the United States and from our local contractor. So right now, it's still in the evaluation process. If there was something wrongful done, we will make sure that everybody gets their day in court. But if there was nothing wrong, then that should be noted as well.
Mm. Unfortunately, we don't have the time for me to ask you all the follow-up questions I have about that. But so this issue of Puerto Rico and liquidity has come up a lot because it is a major challenge that the island faces. I was just looking at an article in the Washington Post from Martin Guzman, who's a senior fellow at the Center for a New Economy of Puerto Rico. It's also by Joseph Stiglitz, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, and Antonio Weiss, who led the U.S. Treasury on Puerto Rican issues under the Obama administration. And they said they have looked at the numbers regarding the island's $120 billion in bond and pension debt. And here's what they said. They said, we did the math and the numbers are correct. Post Maria, there is no capacity for any debt payments in the coming decade. And the entire debt stock will need to be massively written down to make the island's recovery feasible. Do you agree with that?
Well, right now we're in the midst of making a second fiscal plan based on the challenges that Maria presents. Of course, as you know, we're under the guise of a fiscal oversight board that, you know, sort of helps allocate what do we need to get in revenues, what do we need to do to reduce costs in other sides of government, and what would be available for debt service. So that process is going on right now, and we're in Title III, which is a court proceeding. So really, I'm not very much at liberty to talk about that since I am, in essence, in this proceeding. But certainly, anyone who thinks that the paradigm and the situation has not drastically changed in Puerto Rico is not fully aware of what's really going on.
So two more quick questions, and then I promise I'll let you go, because I want to ask you about how the federal government vis-a-vis the tax bills are treating,
yes,
Puerto Rico, right? Because the plan imposes, as far as I understand, new burdens on the Puerto Rican economy, because in the House bill, there's going to be a 20% excise tax on goods,
yes,
manufactured by U.S. corporations on foreign soil, and the U.S. tax code looks at Puerto Rico
as
a foreign jurisdiction. So what effect is this going to have on the economy there?
It's a devastating effect. And let me state this. This law is not considering Puerto Rico, which is offensive, quite frankly. You know, Congress had established a year ago that their policy with PROMESA was to help Puerto Rico grow economically and to find fiscal sustainability. We since had done a lot of things in our local government to achieve that. I reduced the budget by $1.4 billion. We enacted a lot of economic reforms pushing forward. But then we had two hurricanes. And through this process, while there is a clear policy of Congress to help Puerto Rico in economic growth, to not undermine it, after we've been hit by two hurricanes and we're severely devastated and we need help in our economy, Congress passed two bills, one in the Senate and one in the House, that do not consider Puerto Rico and that would penalize Puerto Rico for being a colonial territory, as a matter of fact. So our petition to Congress is, this is, you know, to keep your promise, to keep your promesa. If you're going to say that you're going to help Puerto Rico, how are you going to enact now a bill that actually severely hurts Puerto Rico? How severely? It hurts 49% of our GDP. It hurts about 250,000 jobs, which is about 25% of our workforce, about 30% of our general government revenues. So that is the impact that this have. And if the federal government and Congress continue on this path, they would be neglecting their promise. They would be neglecting what many of them came over here to say when they came to the island and visited after the hurricanes, which was that they wanted to help. They would be taking an action that would directly penalize and hurt Puerto Rico in this recovery phase.
Right. Well, last question is urgently important regarding the Puerto Rican people. As you know, the New York Times is saying that the official death toll on the island from the storms is 64. But according to their analysis, they looked at the daily mortality data from Puerto Rico. Right. They say the actual deaths may be more than 1,000. Why the gap, and why don't we know exactly how many people have died?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, let me say that we've always established that this death toll number is likely to grow, right? This was a huge catastrophe. We've had limitations with communications and so forth. And if you compare it to other catastrophes, such as Katrina, you know, over there it took several years to actually get the death toll. How are we doing it? We are getting the certified version from the doctors upon their death. There is a specific area in that certification that says whether it was, you know, by natural causes or whether it had something to do with the hurricane, directly or indirectly. And I recognize there's this discrepancy. So here's what we're doing to be very proactive. We're opening up the books of all of the agencies that have to do with this, security agencies, health agencies, our registry, and so forth. And we're looking at all of those certificates, and we're not only, you know, confirming that they're saying, you know, say somebody died by natural causes, we're actually going to call those doctors and ask them if that death, when they put that it was just by natural causes, had anything directly or indirectly to do as well with the hurricane. Now, our responsibility as a government is to tell the numbers that are certified and the numbers that are truth. I understand that other media outlets will make estimates and you know, and may draw those conclusions. But and as I said, our position from day one was that this number is going to rise. This was a severe catastrophe, but we really want to give the certified number and not, you know, something that is not real.
Hundreds of thousands of people have left the island since the storms. I mean, are you concerned that the best and brightest of Puerto Rico aren't staying to help the island's long-term recovery?
It is a concern, but, you know, there is an opportunity with this rebuilding process whereby we can let them see that there's an opportunity to create a newer, stronger Puerto Rico. So my message to them is, you know, we've always talked about how we make Puerto Rico newer, stronger, better. This is the opportunity. And they can be part of it. So this is the time. I understand that some of them have left, you know, and I don't blame them for it. But there is this great opportunity, and we should make sure to capitalize on it.
Ricardo Rossello is the governor of Puerto Rico. Governor, thank you so very much.
Thank you.